little bit of the Rolling Stones and Brown Sugar, kind of in tribute to Charlie Watts, their drummer, who passed away. I think he was 80 years old. Just hard to believe that any of those mop-topping British singers are in their 80s. But that is what is going on. Time waits for nobody. Anyway, the Rolling Stones, good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with my partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you very much for being with us. It's Monday, August the 30th. Wow, the month went fast. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Laura Reyes of the Heritage Foundation. And we are going to talk about the Supreme Court's latest strikedown of President Biden's border policy. Did you see what's going on there? Keeping people over in Mexico, waiting to be processed rather than allowing them entry into the United States. We're going to talk a little bit about that with Laura. Stay tuned. Also, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis asking Biden and his coterie, or whatever you want to call them, to stop resettling illegal immigrants in the Sunshine State. We're getting all kinds of people that they are intentionally placing here. I wonder if there's a reason for it, right? Anyway, we're going to talk about that along with some other things going on from the proprietor of the barber pole himself, Andrew Ceraci, a little bit later. And the Fed's inflation measure has soared to its highest point in 30 years. We got all kinds of issues, right? But inflation is one of them that may hang around for a while. So we're going to take a look at that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, we have a goodie, the top 10 worst colleges for your money in the United States. So stay tuned for that as well. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in Dunedin, in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Guys, great haircut, great price. Call first, 727-733-3773. Also, don't forget, Good Morning Clearwater preceding our show. They're on Monday through Friday, are they not? 8 to 10 a.m. here on the great Tantalk Radio Network. Start your day with Paul and Tracy Allen. I can't think of a better way to start off. Cup of coffee in one hand, radio in the other, or maybe, I don't know, you can keep the radio on the floor, on the table. Just listen. Good morning, Clearwater. All right. So a lot of things going on. By the way, we have to acknowledge that we had one heck of a strike by that hurricane, did we not? Is it Hurricane Ida that hit the New Orleans area? What was it, a Category 4, Ed? It was like the fifth worst hurricane to hit mainland the United States or something like that. It was a scary
on the exact same day that Katrina hit,
yeah.
16 years ago to the day.
Yeah.
Pretty close as powerful, only a bigger storm.
It was.
Area-wise, yeah. It was a bigger storm.
So our prayers go out and our concern. Can you imagine had that thing hit Tampa?
No.
I can't imagine, a Category 4 hitting Tampa Bay.
No, and we've never had a direct hit.
Never.
That's a direct hit.
I think 1912 we did.
There's the bad part of it getting hit, and then there's the week or so after it with no power,
Exactly right. The whole city of New Orleans.
It's hot.
Terrible. Yeah. Whole city of New Orleans. No power.
Mm-hmm.
Whole city. So anyway, our prayers, our thoughts, our hopes are with them. In the meantime, Biden is still getting over the horrible decisions that he has been making. I don't think he will live them down in Afghanistan. He had to stand there and watch 11 servicemen be, or 12 servicemen be loaded off that airplane and into those ambulances over at the airport there in Washington, D.C. I don't know what he was thinking, but in a way, he must feel awfully embarrassed. I would hope he does. For the decisions that were made, they had a poll that I didn't, I think I've got it here somewhere. I think it's like 78% Here it is. A new national poll. It says that most Americans want American troops to remain in Afghanistan, in Kabul, at the airport, until all Americans, as well as Afghans who help the U.S., are evacuated. 84%. You ever see that as a number? 84% of Americans believe that they should do that. This is according to an ABC News Ipsos poll, which was released yesterday. 71% said the troops should stay until all Afghans who helped the U.S. are evacuated. Now, apparently, we've airlifted about 114,000 people, including about 5,500 Americans, to get out of there. But that still leaves a lot of people over there. We've got to have, nobody knows how many Americans are over there. And then I hear, well, some want to stay. Yeah, they're forced to stay. They don't want us. I can't think of anybody that would want to stay in Afghanistan right now.
Problem is we don't have any say in what, you know, I know 84% want us to stay there until everybody's out. Unfortunately, we don't have that luxury anymore. You know, when clock strikes midnight in the 31st, all bets are off.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yep. And what are they going to do after that, you know? Well, you can't trust the Taliban anyway.
Mm-hmm.
They're making a big deal that they hit with some sort of a drone strike, a couple of guys. They don't mention who they are.
Mm-hmm.
My sense is they're not bigwigs. I think they're trying to save a little bit of face right now. That's my sense. But it's a mess. You know, it's an absolute mess. And we'll talk about that a little bit later as well. Lots going on, though, this morning. Most of it not good. Most of it not good. But we're going to look for some some silver linings. Always try to do that. Apparently, 5 rockets were intercepted by U.S. missiles over there that were fired at Kabul Airport. So that's good, I guess. I wonder how many will actually get out today. Today being the last. If they're going to be scurrying around tomorrow, I just wonder how many troops will be left tomorrow. I mean, the last ones to scramble away. I'm sure we're going to leave some. We may end up sending back some troops. Anyway, it says here, a White House official said today that around 1,200 people had been evacuated since 3 a.m. Sunday, yesterday morning. So they're trying to get as many out of there as possible. Okay, let us take our break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the border policy of President Biden and the Supreme Court's latest, well, you might say, knockdown of his border policy. Stay tuned for that.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Freedom Works, thank you so very much for joining us this morning, and we are delighted to have back Laura Reese. She is a senior research fellow for Homeland Security at the Great Heritage Foundation. We're going to talk a little bit about an article that she wrote in the Washington Times about the Supreme Court's latest strikedown of Biden's immigration policies. Laura, welcome back.
Thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure. So, I guess if things weren't bad enough over in Afghanistan right now, last week the Supreme Court ordered that the Biden administration reinstate what's called the migrant protection protocols implemented by President Trump. What exactly is that, Laura?
So it is informally known as the Remain in Mexico program, and this is something that Congress put into statute back in 1996, but no prior administration had used the tool until the Trump administration. And when we were seeing caravans of migrants coming north illegally in late 2018 and 2019, the Trump administration decided to use that tool Congress gave the executive branch and implemented the Remain in Mexico program. And basically it was, if you are coming to the border illegally and want to claim asylum, you can do so, but we're not going to parole you into the U.S. and then release you from detention to disappear into the interior. Instead, you have to go back to Mexico and stay there to await your asylum proceedings.
Right.
And it worked. The caravan stopped because would-be migrants knew that they could no longer just get to the border, say a few words of fear, and then disappear into the interior of the U.S.
Right. Now, back in April, the Attorney General for Texas and, I guess, Missouri sued the Biden administration to reinstate this thing, especially in Texas. They seem to be feeling the effect of just allowing these people to stay here while their cases are being considered.
Yeah, the states have to bear the brunt of this. And while the border states feel it first, every town is a border town because these migrants are being bused and flown all over the country to settle wherever. So then communities there have to pay for schooling and health care, et cetera, welfare benefits. And so, yes, Texas and Missouri sued on this case and said the federal government is not enforcing the law. They're violating the law. And they used to have tools that were effective, and they didn't properly end those programs. They just summarily dismissed the Remain in Mexico program, and doing that has led to a new border rush, and we, the states, are feeling that.
Indeed. In fact, Governor DeSantis is petitioning Washington to stop dropping off illegal immigrants in Florida. So, We are feeling it here in our state as well. Now we've got this Afghan thing. I guess we're going to get a bunch of evacuees that will be coming over, thousands of possibly, from Afghan refugees. And will that play a part in this whole scenario too?
Yes, all this is connected. It is the same agency, U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, that handles refugees or applicants for refugee protection, as well as does asylum claims and is very involved in what's going on the southern border. And so the agency is overwhelmed. Customs and Border Protection is overwhelmed. And now DHS is also dealing with a major hurricane in Louisiana and Mississippi,
right,
Alabama, et cetera. And so all of this is really taking a toll on the Department of Homeland Security.
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely.
And Americans suffer for it in multiple ways, security being the main reason.
Really. We're talking with Laura Reese. She is a senior research fellow at the for Homeland Security, and she's got a Homeland Security background. She's currently at the Heritage Foundation. And she's written a piece about the Supreme Court being the latest to strike down the immigration policies of Joe Biden. So why is the Biden administration allowing our southern border to be so porous? Does he not look at the polls and see that most people feel we need security there, especially, I would think, with the possibility that we may have some bad dudes coming through that border to do some bad things?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think it's going to require something really bad happening, an attack of some sort, for this administration to change course. This seems very intentional. We've had month after month after month of historic numbers of illegal encounters, including unaccompanied alien children, and this administration refuses to increase enforcement and follow the law.
Mm-hmm.
We are having record-setting deaths in the U.S. from the drugs that are coming across that border. That doesn't seem to affect this administration to change course and start securing the border either. So I truly fear for what it's going to take for the White House to change course.
Yeah, that sounds very ominous, Laura, if you feel that that's what it's going to take. Speaking about all of that, maybe I could ask you, because there is a connection to our security here at the homeland. Do you think that the Biden administration, what were they thinking with the way they're trying to get our people out of there in Afghanistan and our troops, almost our troops ahead of our people there? Any thought on that?
Yeah, the order was completely backwards, and every American gets that. It's common sense. You don't remove the military first and Americans last.
Yeah. I can't believe they did it that way. I don't understand how anybody there didn't think that through. And also the Bagram Airport. They abandon that, and we go to the airport where it's more dangerous.
Yes, apparently the number and the limited number of military was preeminent for this administration. And so, therefore, to meet that number, they decided to give up Bagram Air Force Base, which, you know, led to release of many terrorists who quickly went back to the battlefield and loss of a lot of our own equipment. And so those terrorists will use our own equipment against us.
Yeah, I mean, they are doing everything wrong with the border. I would say, you know, obviously with what's going on in the airport, I don't understand how Biden could allow what he is doing to occur. But back to this situation with the courts and the Democrats and the Biden administration. Now, are they going to follow the rules now? They're going to, or is there going to be a wink and a nod, and they're going to allow some of these people to stay here while things are being considered? In other words, it seems like they want to get as many people from the, you know, from Mexico and Central America, et cetera, that want to come in. I guess they think they got votes. I don't know what other reason they're doing it.
Yeah, this seems to be a political calculation for them. And so they want to retain power, and they need more voters. And that's what this seems to be about. I think the Biden White House and the Department of Homeland Security will give lip service to complying with this court order. DHS posted a short statement saying it will comply, but they've also said repeatedly they did not find the Remain in Mexico program to be humane. And so I anticipate they will slow roll re-implementation of it. They will blame Mexico because it does require cooperation by the Mexican government to house migrants on their side of the border. And so I'm not anticipating a quick or thorough implementation of this. The judge anticipated that, and he ordered that it be enforced and implemented in good faith, and required the Justice Department to periodically report to the court. So this is going to require a lot of oversight, both, I think, from the court and from Congress, to make sure that they are, in fact, implementing this.
Right. One of the first things that President Biden did when he took office was to halt construction of the border wall. And Texas has tried to pick up the ball on that a little bit by trying to construct a wall of their own. How is there anything new on that front at all, Laura?
I don't have details on the Texas portion of the wall.
Okay.
But I think it's pretty clear, again, to most Americans that walls work. And if the Biden White House would listen to the agents on the ground, namely Border Patrol, in this instance, Border Patrol agents have called for a wall system. It's not just the wall itself, but also the access road and the lights and the sensors, et cetera, for many years. And not in every part along the border, but in key parts. And it's those areas where the president should listen to his agents on the ground and complete the construction there.
Yeah, you would think, I would hope somebody can get to him and knock some sense into what he's, God knows, maybe he's listening to the wrong people if he's listening to anybody at all. Laura, it's always a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you so very much for taking time to update us on this whole situation with the courts and the border.
Thank you.
All right. Laura Reese, Heritage Foundation. Very good. Let's take our break. When we come back, I'll tell you what, we've got a little bit of discussion here. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is asking the Biden administration to stop resettling illegal immigrants here in Florida. We're going to talk about this, along with some other things, with the proprietor of the Barber Paul himself, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back here at Freedom Work. Thank you so very much for being with us. By the way, we are here Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tantalk Radio Network. You can also listen to us on podcast, thanks to Big Ed. All our shows are put on there for your dining and dancing pleasure. Just go to OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Go to the top, click on the podcast button, and away you go. Well, I guess Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has sent a letter to Biden asking that he stop resettling illegal immigrants in Florida and to either deport them or send them to a state that DeSantis says supports the, quote, flouting of our immigration laws. I'm sure that Biden's going to get on that right away. Actually, DeSantis sent this letter to the feckless Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, the what? What do you mean we got trouble at the border kind of guy? So, with all that in mind, we have both of the Ceresi brothers. The guy in here in Florida and his older brother up there in Rochester, New York. And first of all, before we go any further, I want to ask Andrew. His wife has been battling that virus. And Andrew, how is your wife, Nicole, doing?
Well, Paul, she's supposed to be coming home this afternoon.
Oh, hooray.
Hooray. She's still weak, but they're going to let her come home with some home health care.
Okay.
I guess they told her that she was very weak, and they were going to have to put her in a rehab center. You know what that is, right? The nursing home.
Yeah, and
But she heard that. She started jogging around her room.
I bet.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, they said, boy, it seems like you had a miraculous recovery.
She certainly. Sometimes, you know, it takes that kind of a thing to really perk you up.
I told her the other day, I said, Nicole, you're going to beat old Jim to a nursing home. I can't believe it.
Oh, my goodness.
That was it.
All right. Well, that's great. I'm so happy to hear that. Really, really, we are.
Yeah, she's doing good.
Good.
She beat it, Paul.
That's wonderful. So, let us talk to your brother, Angelo, up there in New York. First of all, Angelo, how are things going with you guys? Did you have an update on how the virus is progressing or not progressing around Rochester?
It's getting worse up here, too. I guess yesterday they had like 221 new cases here in Rochester, so keeps climbing, you know, and the governor is going to put this new governor we got, that Kathy Hochul, she's putting a mandate on masks in the schools starting next, you know,
next
week and everything like that.
Yeah.
I'm sure she's going to follow in Cuomo's footsteps, you know, she's a Democrat and she's going to go along, you know, like she talks like Biden, I'm standing by my decision.
Oh, there we go. Well, that's kind of opposite what we're doing here in Florida. And, you know, quite frankly, Andrew, Governor DeSantis is taking a lot of heat for allowing the parents to make the decision rather than like the school boards. And I think we talked about this on Friday a little bit. Some of the poll numbers have not worked in his favor on this. What do you think?
Paul, I think we're going to find the results in the end, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're going to see what happens when they mask up everybody and when they don't. Secondly, I think that the parents think the school board's smarter than them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
they're putting faith in the school board. I think they're a bunch of dummies.
Well, you know, it's been interesting because a lot of these school boards, as you well know, across the country have been, let's say, accosted by parents that were fed up with some of the things that they were trying to teach their young kids. And so there has been a more active participation. I think that if there's any silver lining in all of the trouble that's going on with all of that, maybe it's that people are perking up their ears a little bit more, maybe taking, you know, taking part a little bit more in what's going on.
Not only is the government incompetent of what's going on, but the parents are showing they're incompetent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They're having faith in people, making decisions when the proof is right there. Ron DeSantis has got the proof. And it's like I told you before, he's putting it all on the line right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And we're going to see in the end. We're going to see if they're masked up in New York, what's going to happen. If the kids are masked up here, oh, we got 200 new cases in Rochester. What the hell is the population? Okay?
Yeah.
200 cases of what? All right? You know, like my wife, it amazes me. They say there is no test, you know, to tell what is this variant or that variant. But there is no more regular pneumonia, you understand? Everything is called COVID pneumonia. I don't believe she had COVID pneumonia, but I believe she had pneumonia.
Oh, you don't think she had the virus?
Well, she had the virus.
I mean, the COVID-19.
Everything, they're calling everything COVID. She had the virus and it went into pneumonia.
Oh, I see.
So they're calling it COVID pneumonia.
Okay.
Okay, that virus makes you go into pneumonia, period.
Yeah.
Just like a flu will make you go into pneumonia. Do they call it flu pneumonia? No, they call it pneumonia.
Yeah.
But because of every person that goes in the hospital that has COVID, the government gives them $38,000. If they don't have COVID, they get $14,000. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Everything is called COVID. Now, as far as DeSantis writing a letter to Biden about keeping the illegal immigrants out of here, do you know that Barack Obama, when he was in office, let 2,000 illegal immigrants go into Clearwater? They were bringing them here in the middle of the night on UPS jets, so nobody paid attention to it.
No, I didn't.
Yes, they did, okay? Now, what they're trying to do is plant these people in red states so they could try to change it in 3 years and 2 months from now. That's what this idiot's doing. If the people don't see that, there's something wrong with them.
Yeah.
If I was Ron DeSantis, I mean, he's got the guts to do what he's doing now, I would charter planes and ship them all up to New York.
Yeah, well, as a matter of fact, it's what he kind of said in his note when he sent it. He said, where was it here? Send them to a state that supports the, quote, flouting of our immigration laws instead That's of right. sending them to places like Florida.
That's right. He's 100% right. Like I said, if I was him and it's in my authority, I would be chartering planes right now and dropping them off at the Monroe County Airport.
Yeah. Angelo, I got to ask you, horrible, obviously, what happened at the Kabul airport with our military men and that bombing. Do you have any thoughts about the way things are going right now? Tomorrow, we're supposed to have all of our troops out of there.
What they did was a fiasco. They never set up a perimeter. They gave in to giving up Bagram Air Base. And, I mean, I feel... for those Afghan veterans, just like I did when Vietnam fell, you know, Saigon fell. And you just feel bitter and everything. I mean, for what happened? Why?
Why do we continue to do the same damn thing over again?
We never, ever...
Do we ever understand and learn?
They never learn. Follow the money, Paul.
Not only
that, they got an arsenal more than the rest of the world could ever have. I mean, and they're gonna fight us with that arsenal. I mean, it's not gonna stop.
It almost does sound like what your brother just said about following the money. Why would we leave all of that equipment over there the way we did it? Why would we pull our military men out
before
we pull out the rest of our Americans?
The military
are the ones to be there to safeguard the transport of our Americans out of there.
It's very simple. You've got China, okay? Afghanistan is lithium rich, number one. Biden is compromised with China. China has already got the rights to all the minerals in Afghanistan. Watch the big push on electric cars, Paul. Biden is compromised. He left all that weaponry there to make sure China's going to get everything they want out of Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. This guy is a traitor to the country, and he should be treated as such, and so should his whole administration. So listen, they just sent, seven rockets this morning into the airport? Guess whose rockets they were that shot at them?
China's?
No, they were American rockets that they got from their arsenal shooting back
at their own
people.
You mean, yeah.
Okay? This has all got to do with China, with lithium, follow the money, with a compromised administration in this country.
Yeah. This was kind of interesting. Biden blew off a question about Afghanistan yesterday, after offering to take questions at the FEMA headquarters, you know, where they were monitoring Hurricane Ida. The first question, he said, I'm not supposed to take any questions, but go ahead. So the guy goes, this is a Bloomberg reporter, by the way. It's a woman. She goes, Mr. President, on Afghanistan. He goes, I'm not going to answer on Afghanistan. And then he walked away. What do you think there, Angelo? Real courage under fire.
Hey, I'm here. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was saying, Angelo, what do you think about Biden's real courage under fire there when they ask him a question on Afghanistan?
Ridiculous. Ridiculous. He during his campaign down in the basement, he said he was going to be visible. He's going to do this. He's going to be up front with everybody. Now, I wonder how these people who all wanted Biden as president, how they feel now.
You know, I wouldn't take a call from Biden if I were the relatives or the parents of of one of those kids that was killed over there.
And their parents, yeah.
I don't think I would take a phone call from him. That's just me. I just wouldn't do it.
One mother wrote about him, didn't you? There's a video she made.
Yeah, there's more than one of those people that are upset with
him. He's a disgrace, Paul. He was a plant. He was put in there to bring this country down. China let that virus loose. This all happened in Afghanistan, so they got them. China's going to rule the world, and we're letting it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And Biden is compromised.
Yeah. Yeah,
the parents better wake up. They're worried about mask. I got news for you. Your kids aren't going to have to wear a mask. They're going to have to take orders from the Chinese from now on. These parents better start growing some cayunes because they have no clue what they're doing. They're breeding a bunch of sissies.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm hoping that, again, that there is a little bit there. Apparently, there's been some backlash on all of that with a lot of these parents at school board meetings.
They shouldn't send the kids to school if I was the parents. They wanted to wear a mask, let the kids wear a mask go. Because, you know, when the kids don't show up at school, they lose their federal money, you know.
That's true. Angelo, go ahead.
2022 can't come soon enough.
You're talking November 2022.
2022, November, yes.
I know.
Cannot come soon enough.
Well, they better fix the voting problems they have, because if it comes soon enough, you're going to see more Democrats elected with their so-called voting, okay?
Well, they had a big march over the weekend, you know, they're calling for, voting rights and this and that. Excuse me, they keep pushing on that. You know, I mean, I don't know what's so big about having, you know, identification to vote and, you know, the rules and regulations to vote.
Hey, Andrew, do you think by November 2022 they will have finished the Maricopa County audit?
Well, I hope so, you know.
Jeez, you know, how long is it going to take?
Yeah, well, because they it's amazing. They subpoena people, but the people don't answer and they don't do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Paul, this is worse than the mob was in the 70s, believe me. This is the most corrupt government, okay? And it's got to change. If it doesn't, 2022 isn't going to matter a thing, Paul. Everything has been planted in this country for it to happen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Angelo, do you think Donald Trump's going to run again for president?
I would hope so. I think he will. I think he cares enough for this country, what has happened to this country, that he is willing to run again.
But he would upset. You don't understand. He would upset Nancy Pelosi. She might have a heart attack.
Well, that'd be
so
great.
Be
I'd go to the funeral.
I would send her flowers on anybody.
But yeah, I would do. Sorry.
What she has put this country to for the last 5 years now, almost, is terrible. She should actually be removed from office.
Uh-huh. Now, is Cuomo out of Albany? Is he out of that governor's mansion now?
Yes, he is.
You're sure he's not hiding in the basement waiting to...
No, but he left his dog. He asked if anybody wanted.
Yeah, what's going on with the dog? You know, anyone that doesn't love dogs, I've always wondered about their true sense of heart. Go ahead.
That was probably his only friend.
I think the dog must have bit him in the rear end or something. That's why he's leaving him there.
But he's gone. No more Cuomo.
Yeah, no more Cuomo is right. What about his brother? I'm waiting to see his brother come back on CNN.
Well, he'll probably be, now that his brother's gone from office, I'm sure CNN will get rid of him, too.
Yeah, I was just wondering what would be the point of having him on there, right?
Right, right.
Okay. Gentlemen, it is always a pleasure to have both of you. You both have a great deal of things to say and energy, and I thank you for that. Andrew, I'll look forward to talking with you again tomorrow. Angelo, thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you so much. I can't wait. Have a good day.
All right, my friends. There they go. The Ceresi brothers. Delighted to have them. All right, let's take our break. And when we come back, did you see that the Fed, they've got this particular measuring index for inflation, and it looks like it's going to be the highest in 30 years as far as that index goes. We'll talk about it. About working all summer just to
try to earn a dollar. This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. 3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question, get an answer, free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
And we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works. We thank you so very much for joining us. And this is a little bit scary. I've been worried. I'll be honest. I've been very worried, so worried about inflation that I actually moved some of my stuff around in for what is, you know, for what little I have, in the mutual funds, and I started looking for inflation protected kind of funds, if you can follow my gist on that.
So you moved your money to the Cayman Islands or what?
I moved my $7.25 offshore. Yes, indeed. I'm not going to tell you where it is because I don't want you to go and get it. Oh, anyway. So I wonder if a lot of these, speaking about that, if a lot of these big-time investors do start looking for the island exit when it comes to their funds, do you think?
The way this place is printing money?
I would think too. And that's another scary thing, the money printing, of course. Anyway, the Core Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index. Trying to say that after a few drinks. This is the Fed's preferred inflation measure, accelerated last month by the most in 30 years. So I guess it's one more reason to worry about the cost of everything. They call it the core PCE. It excludes food and energy. And you know both of those things have gone up, food and energy. Mm. But anyway, the core PCE rose 3.6% year over year since July. That is the most since 1991. Anyway, it's just one more indication that things are not looking good, and the Fed's a little bit worried. But yeah, the stock market's doing very well, you know? I don't know. It seems to me at some point the stock market's going to worry about this. But so far, not so much. Now, this is something, I don't know why he would say this, but the Secretary of Education, Arne Duncan, well, this was actually Obama's Secretary of Education, not the current one, but Arne Duncan, Obama Secretary of Education, went on, I guess it was Twitter, and likened anti-maskers here in our country, anti-maskers, with those who are, to radical Islamic suicide bombers. Here's what he said. Have you noticed how strikingly similar both the mindsets and actions between suicide bombers at the Kabul airport and the anti-mask, anti-vax people here? They both blow themselves up, inflict harm on those around them, and are convinced they are fighting for freedom. Boy, what a stretch that is. You can imagine the kind of responses this guy got. Fierce reactions. Here's one of them. What a difference a day makes, calling out Duncan's rapid hypocrisy. Another one, this tweet will just make people think mental illness is a side effect of the vaccine. And a whole bunch of others. But why do you want to even bring those two things together, right? Very bad timing.
Well, suicide bombers, weren't they told that the great Allah will have a place for them?
Well, here's what I'm wondering, though. Suicide bombers, do they wear masks so they don't get the COVID-19? Mm-hmm. I think you'd have to be medically very careful. No, I don't know. These idiots that blow themselves up do believe that they got all kinds of pleasure and great life coming after this.
Every war,
You notice the leaders never blow themselves up. It's the underlings that do.
But every war has them. I mean, if you want to go back to Pearl Harbor, look at all the Japanese suicide bombers. You know, the ones that dive bomb on people.
Right.
So.
Yeah. No, you're right.
And as far as masks, I don't know if you see those people they were airlifting out of Afghanistan, sitting in the C-130-131 that
packed elbow to elbow.
There wasn't a mask to be found in that joint.
No, and that'd be the last thing I'd worry about. I'd want to get out of that place, and I'm not going to look around for masks. Just get me on the cargo plane.
They sat on the tarmac like 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah.
That many 800 people. How they all use the bathroom?
It's terrible. Did you hear about that? That one Afghan. I think he's an interpreter that has been working for the United States over there. He said he doesn't think he's going to survive it. He thinks he's going to be killed. He's trying to get his family out, but he said I don't think I'll make it. Matter of factly, he was saying that.
Well, didn't Biden hand over a list of Americans that they need that they want out?
Yeah. Exactly. It was like when he went over to Putin and he said, now these are the things that we don't want hacked. Remember that? Now here, Vladimir, don't hack these.
Shook his finger too.
Are you, this is Biden. I don't know if we should be more upset with Biden or the people around him. I would say probably the people around him. For giving him the kind of information that they are giving him to do these things and say these things.
Mm.
I don't think he does it on his own anymore.
No, and you talked about when he was at the press conference yesterday at the fallen soldiers, and one of the reporters asked an Afghanistan question. I have to side with Biden. I don't think that was the place for it.
No.
I really don't.
He was at a FEMA.
Was it FEMA?
Yeah.
Okay.
There was no questions asked.
Okay. I thought it was at the other thing.
No, and I'll give Biden credit that he showed up there with his wife.
Well, he had to.
I know he
did. Oh, my God.
Absolutely.
Are you kidding me?
But no questions were asked of him. No. This was at a FEMA get-together.
Okay.
He said, now I'll take some questions. Mm-hmm. And the first one out of a woman's mouth from Bloomberg was about Afghanistan, and he shut it down and walked away.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. No, he had invited questions at that point. Okay, real quickly. I'm getting excited about the Rays. I'm beginning to think that we might be back in the World Series again, the way they're playing.
Well, I can guarantee we'll be in the World Series and win it.
Really?
Yes, we just have to play Baltimore every week.
Oh, I see. Yes. Yeah, but it's not just Baltimore. They've been doing very well.
Yeah.
I think, do they have the best record in the American League right
now? Yes, they're second in baseball, and they have a 6-game lead on the Yankees and an 8-game lead on Boston.
I'm excited.
And they have Boston here for, I think, 3 or 4 games on this week. And then next week they'll have 3 more games. So I think this series with Boston and the next one could decide whether Boston actually makes the wild card or not.
Are we rooting to have Boston in there? Boston's always a fun team to watch.
I really don't care. I always want to play the best team. So you get nothing gives you satisfaction than frustrating the Yankees and their fans.
The Yankees, yes, indeed. And also, real quickly, I see that the Bucks are going to start the regular season. They went out by winning, right, in this last game.
Yeah.
But we were testing people.
Yeah.
Does Tom Brady look ready?
The whole offense did for the first few series they did. I think they did 3 series. They looked sharp. But
okay.
We'll see.
All right.
They came out relatively healthy. Couple of guys on COVID. Ndamukong Suh's on COVID. So is our kicker.
Oh, really?
So.
How long will our kicker be?
They'll be
out?
Ready for the game.
Oh, you think they will?
They have to have 2 negative tests to come back in.
What do we got, about 10 days?
And they're both vaccinated, by the way.
Oh, good. Okay.
But they were around somebody that was not.
Who do we play for in the first game of the regular season?
Home against the Cowboys.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, good old Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. And finally, Jameis Winston, your old buddy. He's going to be the starting quarterback for the New Orleans Saints.
And the Bucs defense stands and cheers because we know that's at least 2 picks per game for our defense.
Okay. Time for our top 10. This is from itsthevibes.com. Itsthevibe.com. These are the top 10 worst colleges in the U.S. for your money. All right? places you don't want to send your kid to. Here we go, number 10. St. Augustine's University. Not the one.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Who let the dogs out? St. Augustine's University, not the one in Florida, in Raleigh, North Carolina. Although students at St. Augustine's pay $129,000 for 4 years, only 23% graduate.
Jeez. Yike.
Number 9. We're having a dog attack. Mm. I don't know if the mic picks it up or not. Stillman College, Tuscaloosa, Alabama. They had a paltry 615 students during the fall of 2018 and small class sizes, but little return. You know what? The return on investment going there, minus $80,400. Number 8. Unity College, good old Unity College in Unity, Maine. It may be known for being eco-friendly. It offers degrees in sustainability science, whatever that is, but it's not wallet-friendly. Once students graduate, in most cases, they're not equipped to deal with the real world. Number 7, Wilson College, Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. Good old Chambersburg. Only 39% of the kids graduate. Upon spending enormous amounts of $156,000 tuition, they're left with a negative return on investment of $86,700. Number 6, Emory and Henry College in Emory, Virginia, the oldest private liberal arts school in Southwest Virginia, $179,000 for a 4-year course load. After 20 years, their return on investment, minus $91,000. Number 5, Bruton Parker College in Mount Vernon, Georgia. Its tuition fee is off the roof, $113,000 over 4 years. 20 years later, return on investment, minus $92,200. Number 4, Shaw University, Raleigh, North Carolina, earned the nickname Mother of African-American Colleges, but even a mother's love comes with a price, despite tuition fee that is very high. Return on investment, minus 93.6. Okay, I got to go quickly, don't I? Number 3, Payne College, Austin, Georgia. Number 2, Rust College, Holly Springs, Mississippi. Number 1, Ed's got blisters on his fingers from all the drum roll. Johnson University in Kimberlin Heights, Tennessee. We salute Johnson University, but we ain't going to go there. Thanks so much for listening to us. We'll be back tomorrow. Remember, freedom works.
The girl's got plenty good love.